Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. Dear America, we're no longer at a crossroads in America. No, that boat sailed a long time ago. Democracy has always been fragile in America. At the First Continental Congress, the framers of America's government knew that if we're not careful, democracy could disappear with a whisper. There were times in this nation that democracy was put to the ultimate test. The Civil War nearly ended the democratic experiment permanently. But the citizens listened to the better angels within, and through the carnage, created a new birth of freedom and democracy. Voting is so important, and yet so few Americans engage in this noble cause. Only 60% of Americans vote in the presidential election since 1972. The only time we saw an uptick with that 60%, which went to 68%, was the first time that we elected a black man as a president. But since then, it's come back down to 60% of the population voting in the presidential election. We also have one of the lowest voter turnouts among democratic nations. So the United Kingdom on average has an 82% turnout. Germany has about an 85 to 88% voter turnout. Australia has 95% because it is absolutely positively mandatory to vote in the Australian election. Maybe you may feel like your vote doesn't mean anything. Maybe you're frustrated by the apathetic politician's dedication to serving the wealthy and what feels like having disdain for you. Maybe you simply don't care who's elected. We can't escape those elected officials who don't serve you, other Americans, and myself. You see, not voting at all merely ensures that they'll continue to leave us and our families behind. As a matter of fact, the longer they hold office, the more emboldened they'll act in suppressing our basic human rights. I was raised in a community, Lehigh Avenue and 30th Street, my country as I lovingly refer to it, and despite poverty and violence, there were many people in my neighborhood that respected the law and held each other accountable. We cared for each other and called individuals out that brought dishonor to the community. I was taught that I'm not only my brother's keeper, I'm also my sister's keeper. That I cannot merely stand on the sidelines and complain about the social dichotomy of America, but I must in fact play a role in shaping our society for the better that will undoubtedly benefit current and future generations. In 21st century Black America, in 21st century America, how many of us would have thought we'd still be saying Black Lives Matter? The long, wretched, and insufferable history of structural racism stubbornly embraced this nation. I know it feels like we cannot break the shackles of hate and bigotry in America. And unfortunately, some Americans don't see it or don't care about bringing the scourge of racism to its end. George Floyd didn't have to die. Breonna Taylor didn't have to die. And the list, the long list of innocent Black, Brown, and Indigenous Americans whose lives were ended at the hands of police who believe they are immune from prosecution. But here's the thing. Why wouldn't police think that? Why wouldn't they believe that they are immune from prosecution? That they can basically go out willy-nilly, murder innocent people, and never see the inside of a prison? Many of America's prosecutors, DAs, and attorney generals will not try and convict police officers who clearly have engaged in nefarious acts against black people and other people of color. We have this debate that all police are not bad. And I think most of us absolutely positively know that. We know that the majority of the police get up, go out, and they serve the general public as best as they can. But we also have to stop thinking that there's only a few bad apples within the police system, because we know that is farce. That's been a farce since 1852, when the police in this country was first established. So just as many individuals who are police officers in America who respect the law and who respect the rights of every American, especially people of color, there's also a huge amount of individuals who are police that violate it on a consistent basis. We've gotten to the point now, if we don't see a police officer or police officers violating the rights of people of color in this country, something is wrong. What happens today? Something is going on. Many of us have become tone deaf to it. I'm not saying that black people's lives are more important than others. Not at all. But what I am saying is our lives have meaning and value as well. Now, there are some Americans pushing the narrative that if black lives matter, then why is the proverbial black-on-black crime high? It's like those Americans are saying, don't talk about police murdering black people until we address black-on-black crime. For the record, individuals like myself, Derek Hill, Leon Jones, Chad Lassiter, Wilson Alexander, Craig Stroman, Michael Ingram, and Darren Toller, just to name a few, are working with other community leaders to stop the killing. So don't act as if no one isn't trying to stop the violence. Black-on-black crime is high. So is white-on-white crime. So is Latino-on-Latino crime. As is Asian-on-Asian crime. The difference between black-on-black crime and police murdering innocent black people is simple. When a black person murders another black person, they're going to jail. Police that murder innocent black people are assigned to death duty with pay. Comprehensive police reform is what those that perish at the hands of rogue and murderous police cry out from the grave. And we, the living, must honor them and achieve true police reform. That is how we honor them and future generations. And then there's Donald Trump, a president that sowed the seeds of hate, bigotry, and racist rhetoric 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He calls peaceful protesters un-American and use the military to infringe on citizens' basic rights. He retweets racist comments and videos and attacks Americans that don't agree with him. instead of holding Putin and Russia accountable for interfering with our cherished elections and placing bounties on the heads of American soldiers, Trump attacks Americans while undermining our relationships with international allies. When the President of the United States welcomes America's adversary to interfere in our electoral process, it should no longer be called president. Traitor is more applicable. Trump was never fit to lead America intelligently or morally. I'll say it because some Americans fail to do so when it's crystal clear. Donald Trump is not a moral man. He is corrupt inside and out and should have never been elected president. Under his presidency, more than 5 million Americans have contracted COVID-19, while more than 170,000 Americans have died from the virus. And that list continues to grow. All we've gotten from Trump is, quote, the virus will disappear like a miracle. And it is what it is. When asked about the more than 1,000 Americans dying daily from COVID-19. At this rate, ladies and gentlemen, by December 2020, it is estimated that more than 300,000 Americans will be dead from COVID-19. Trump oversees high unemployment and poverty rates that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. But according to him, the economy is doing very good, and COVID-19 is disappearing. He's even willing to put our children's lives at stake for political advantage. He said children don't get COVID-19, even though the facts are clear. Children not only get COVID-19, they pass it on to others easily. Go to school during a pandemic? School officials can't even clean the asbestos out of the schools. Trump loves bragging about how he created the lowest black unemployment in American history. Before COVID-19, black unemployment stood at 6%, but currently it is in the high double digits. Let me take this opportunity to dispel yet another lie of Donald Trump. Before COVID-19, many economists viewed the continued economic growth since the middle of 2009, when Democratic President Barack Obama was in office, as the primary explanation for hiring. More important, there are multiple signs that the racial wealth gap has worsened since Trump was elected, and his administration have done very little, if anything at all, to specifically address this challenge. African Americans also had higher incomes prior to the Trump administration. A black household earned a median income of $40,000 a year. That's below a 2000 peak of $42,000 a year, according to the Census Bureau. The most dramatic drop in black unemployment came under the Obama administration, when it fell from the recession high, 16.8% in March of 2010, to 7.8% in January 2017. As I listened to the President Obama's speech at the DNC convention, I thought about how people must have felt when they gathered around the radio to listen to Franklin Roosevelt's fireside chat. Roosevelt gave the nation hope during the worst economic calamity in American history. Obama also brings that same leadership and calming effect to a nation that is currently has a leaderless president that doesn't care about the suffering of Americans from the loss of millions of jobs, poverty, racism, and a pandemic killing Americans daily. As we see right now, recently Trump began attacking the U.S. Postal Service with erroneous claims that mail-in voting is fraudulent and hinting at delaying the election, which he has no authority to do. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, no U.S. president has ever had the authority to delay the election. That responsibility is up to Congress. And even those on the right have made that crystal clear. They will not delay these elections. Look, this nation has successfully had presidential elections during perilous times, from the American Civil War, the Great Depression, World War II, and the Great Recession of 2008. So why would Trump think that Americans would remotely contemplate delaying the 2020 presidential election? Donald Trump has also failed this nation's small businesses. Many small American businesses will never open again because Trump and Republicans took that money and invested billions of dollars in large corporations instead of helping small businesses stay afloat during this pandemic. This dastardly act was initiated on purpose. Trump doesn't want small businesses to thrive no more than he wants the working poor and middle class to thrive. And yet, many owners of small businesses, working poor, and middle class Americans went out in large numbers and voted for Trump in 2016. I have a question. How does that make America great again working out for you? Trump's only election strategy was and continues to be racism, and he knew it would turn out his base and even swung some independent voters over to his side. Racial fear proved to be a valuable ally to Trump. For example, according to a Gallup poll in October 2018, immigration ranked as the second most important issue for Republicans, just a hair behind the economy and second highest for all eligible voters. It's a strategy deliberately crafted to drive a wedge right into the immigrant community itself, with some older immigrants standing with the president against undocumented workers. Trump's goal is to continue to create atmosphere of chaos and panic that allows him to act more forcefully, speak more irrationally, and to present himself as the country's savior. He's a grandstanding nationalist who has finally found his calling, which is to preserve white dominance in the United States and prevent America from becoming part of a multicultural world. Harry Truman once said, "I am the president, and the buck stops with me." Trump nor his supporters see it differently. Their motto is deflect and blame others. The integrity of an individual is to admit when they do wrong. But Trump has never, and I mean never, admitted to making mistakes. And contrary to his logic, he makes a lot of mistakes, especially the one that's literally costing the lives of Americans. Trump lacks basic and cognitive intelligence. He's a 15-cent charlatan A person so lacking in intelligence that he didn't even know the difference between a country and a continent. He is unremarkably the embodiment of a pathetically wretched soul. He can't completely destroy America in 4 years, so he's asking you to reelect him for 4 more years to complete his task. Imagine 4 more years of this presidency that would empower Trump to further destroy this nation domestically and internationally. Do you seriously want to continue this doomed journey from a man who couldn't lead a food fight and is woefully incapable of leading America in the right direction? I get it. You want to change. And you elected an outsider to go to Washington and get things accomplished. I guess at the time it seemed like a good idea. You wanted to get away from the career politician that makes promises and never delivers. I completely agree. But at what cost were you willing to pay? What made you think that Donald Trump was the answer? The history of Trump's imbecility, his narcissism, his failure in business and blatant racism was known for decades. Why did you think Trump was the answer to defend the working poor, the poor, and middle-class Americans? Is it clear now that electing Trump was a mistake? Is it clear now that Trump is just as ineffective and corrupt as the career and corrupt politicians you rightfully have disdain for? Are you ready to end this horrible chapter in American history? Are you ready to use your power to vote out and send Trump from whence he came? This election is for the soul of America. This is our opportunity to decide on whether we continue this journey down a path of chaos, destruction, and death, or do we chart a new course and create economic and social integrity, not for the wealthy, but for all of us, working poor, the poor, and the middle class. On November 3rd, we can bring about real change to America. Our nation is battered, bruised, and beleaguered. But Americans have the tenacity and the resolve to turn turmoil into triumph. I believe in America. Despite its many faults, I believe in America's potential, because I know that potential can be the springboard to greatness if we know how to use it. The American people have the capacity to make changes that will benefit every citizen. We do. We can make life better for all. But we must move in the same direction to accomplish this task. We must utilize the potential to work together on common issues and move like a tsunami to achieve them. And like a tsunami, as one, will be an unstoppable force for the good of our nation. I want you to understand something this evening, that we, the people, are the government, not the elected officials. The politicians are there because we voted for them. So when they continue to fail us, we have to take responsibility of voting them out and replacing them with public servants who will serve the will of the people. Voting gives us power, and we must utilize this great equalizer to remove ineffective politicians when they fail to represent us with leadership, intelligence, integrity, compassion, and ingenuity. How we vote in this next election will forever be echoed in eternity. We truly have the power to make America great. Not Donald Trump's version of America, but an America that unites us all. Good night.